according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme that this Sunday of Easter is commonly known for is Good Shepherd Sunday, which I believe invites us to consider what love in truth and action looks like in the world, particularly for Christians who have been claimed by the Good Shepherd. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, we heard today, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. That obedience to the way of Jesus, our good shepherd, invites us to care for the well-being of all people. And throughout the centuries, such obedience has led to the martyrdom of some Christians. Now, a story that was lifted up as I was preparing for the sermon this week, is a story of Ruby Bridges. And it was during desegregation on November 14th, 1960. She was the first African-American child to attend what was formerly a whites-only elementary school in Louisiana. Now, it's amazing to think that she was 6 years old when she went to school and sat alone for a year to integrate a public school. Claudia Highball writes, responding to the needs of the community, her action of love was obedience to the court system and the sacrifice of her own comfort and her own security to make a better learning environment for other children. Ruby was respectful and responsible. Her source of goods was simply the patience of a small child to take the time necessary to make a difference for her young brothers and sisters. Now, if we are to emulate the love of Jesus in the world, if we are to love like Jesus, which I think if I say we're to love like Jesus, everybody's going to say, yeah, right? Let's do that. That sounds wonderful. But if loving like Jesus means that we're going to be willing to lay down our lives for others, if loving like Jesus means that we're going to put our bodies and our lives in harm's way to love and protect others, well, maybe loving like Jesus might have its limitations for us at times, right? Maybe we want to love like Jesus, but not maybe love exactly like Jesus. But the cross is not just information about our redemption. The cross is a transformation on how we're to live now, because we have experienced love in a particular way in Jesus Christ. Now, to lay down one's life does not mean we have to die for others, but it certainly should mean we should live for others. The way of Jesus Christ is a way in which we are not to be consumed with ourselves, but look beyond ourselves and even empty ourselves for the sake of others, as Jesus does for us. The way of Jesus is love and truth in action. You may recall in Matthew's gospel, there's a parable of two sons. These two sons are invited to go and work in a vineyard. One says he won't go. He later changes his mind and goes and works in a vineyard. Some argue that that's that son repenting. The second son says he will go and then doesn't go. What does it mean when we only use our words in our claim that we follow Jesus? Now, I want to be clear that the conviction here shouldn't get any of us to question our salvation. The work of Christ is what saves us. But where we should be challenged here is, what does our witness look like to the world when our words are empty and our actions are contrary to the way of Jesus? Ida B. Wells Barnett, she lived from 1862 to 1931. In her autobiography, Crusade for Justice, she criticized northern white churchgoers for tolerating racism for fear of offending their white brethren. She writes, "Our American Christians are too busy saving the souls of white Christians from burning in hellfire to save the lives of black ones from present burning in fires kindled by white Christians." Love in truth and action is seeking to follow the way of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, which means we need to be vigilant to the needs of others. We must be willing to listen and to take seriously the plight of our neighbor, our sister, and our brother. As we heard in 1 John 3:17, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Now, the withholding of goods from others here is seen as sinful. And in fact, in Jewish tradition, withholding goods is the equivalent to starving someone. Be the violation of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. In our sinfulness and our brokenness, we look for ways to rationalize why we do not need to listen to the cries of those in need. We justify reasons why we do not need to support those who seriously need help. The very people who God commands us to help out of our abundance, we blame them for their plight in life, that if they made mistakes, they shouldn't be any redemption given by our help. We tell ourselves the lie that we have solely due to our own efforts, that we forget God's blessing altogether. And if that doesn't work, we dehumanize those who God has commanded us to help. Because when we do that, it's easy not to help them at all. If they don't qualify as a neighbor, a sister, or a brother, because we believe the lie that they're not fully human, and by the way, deny the very image of God that they're created in, we can neglect them. But love is known in the God that abides with us and in us. God is active in our lives. Love and truth and action is guiding us if God abides in us, because God is active in our hearts. Even when we fall short, because we all fall short, It's not our power, but the power of the Spirit that gives us the ability to abide with God. So, beloved children of God, let us open our hearts and minds to be aware of God's abiding presence in the world and in our hearts. Let us be attentive to the pain and suffering in this world, and in whatever way we can, put our lives in the way of the forces that seek to tear down others, and let us lift them up with the love of Jesus who abides in us. Now, I don't want anybody feeling that they're being sent from this place thinking that we must solve the heartache of the world, that the burden is on your shoulders to alleviate all the world's suffering, because that's absolutely not the case. The world already has a Savior, and thanks be to God, it's not any of us, right? But our Lord has a church. And as the church, the body of Christ in the world, we are a place on earth where God abides in a particular way. A group of people gathered around God's means of grace, where love and truth and action becomes paradise on earth. That is what the church is supposed to be in the world. An economy of love and truth and action that becomes paradise on earth for all those who encounter it. This all flows from the one who is our good shepherd, whose love on the cross saves us and shows us a new way. Part of being the church is being centered on the good shepherd, because we have a God who leads us, a God who guides us, a God who feeds us, and a God who protects us. And this good shepherd seeks to gather together a diverse flock. There are real things in the world that should cause us fear, but we're also asked not to numb ourselves from the evils of the world and the uncertainties of life. What we're asked to do is not just to be positive thinkers, but to trust that the good shepherd is always with us. That in life and in death, the good shepherd is not going to lose us. The good shepherd is not going to lose you. The good shepherd is not going to let you go. Centered in the word and fed at the table, let us not shy away from extending God's grace and mercy to others in the world. Because as we hear the voice of our shepherd, we hear it here as church. Let us as the church, as God's flock, give voice to God's love that others might experience this paradise on earth as we bear witness to God's love in truth and action. There are many in this world that are lonely, they're in pain, they're in isolation. There are others suffering at the hands of injustice. And this image of the Good Shepherd gives us an image that we are not alone. We're never alone. God is always with us, and God brings us into community with one another. That this love and truth and action comes from the love of Jesus on the cross and continues to extend to us a divine connection to all who engage in it. So we are all called to be shepherds of God's love and truth in action, that others may experience paradise through that love and truth in action. May we always be reminded that our good shepherd is with us in times of trial, that our good shepherd is with us each and every day through the significant moments and the mundane, and that the good news is that this God always pursues you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that gospel? This God always pursues us. This is a shepherd that will always pursue you and welcome you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.